All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to jump right in. I'm going to try to move along quickly because I have my beautiful wife's going to join me in a few moments. But we've been in this series called Doorpost, talking about relationships and how I believe a relationship with God, it determines the reality of everything else in our lives and where we are with God. Every time we come to a crossroad, we have difficulty, the first question should be, where am I at with my relationship with God? I believe that is the most important thing. And we've been reading out of Deuteronomy 6. Let me read it for you, verses 6 and 7. And it says, "These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." He's essentially saying, all the time, it's all about God. And he says, "Then you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on our gates." And we talked about this the first week, how doorposts represent the entry into our places that we live, and it's a representation of where God is in our lives. If I come visit your house and we walk around, I can learn a lot about you and your relationship with God. And the same thing goes to the doorpost of our heart, that God's word needs to be written on our heart. And that's more important than even the doorposts of our house, because he wants to be in your heart first and foremost. And as I was preparing, I forgot to mention this, but 3 weeks ago when I built this doorpost on a Saturday afternoon, I decided, yeah, I can do it real quick. And Pastor Lynette and I went to Home Depot and I put those in the back, and as we were leaving, because she was inside, as I was walking out, I ran into the end of the doorpost, right in the middle of my forehead, and I had this little square mark right here. It wasn't funny. And I came in, and she was in line, like, doing something else, and she said, "What happened?" I'm like, "Don't ask." So then we got home, and I worked on my project, got my saw out, and I was cutting everything, and I put it all together, and I was feeling super proud, and I lifted it up, and I pushed it in the back of the truck, and then I had the doormat and some other things, and I put them in the back seat, and as I was walking back around the back end of the truck, guess what I did? I ran into the doorpost again with my head. Now, this time I had a hat on, so it hit the hat first and then went down, but then we got here at church on Sunday. I got out of the truck, and now I'm in my nice clothes. I'm looking good. I have my hair done. And guess what I did? It happened 4 times. And I believe that God was trying to get a hold of me. Acts 1:10 says, "As they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold." Sometimes God wants to get your attention, and we need to change our gaze. Sometimes we got our head down, and we're focused on whatever we're focused on, and he's saying, look up. You can't look up all the time. You might run into other things, and then you have shin issues, right? It's your forehead or your shin. And I believe that God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to get our attention about the important things and the relationships in our life. And I believe that, I said it the first week, that before God can transform your home, he has to transform your heart. And last week, Pastor Nick did an amazing job talking about how God will work through the seeds that you planted to build this church, to build the church. Your children will be your legacy. And it is important that we pour into the next generation, whether we have actual kids or we have our spiritual kids, right, that we're all responsible for. And the future of the church, Big C, is dependent on it. We have to pass it on. We can't hold on to it forever. And we have to live with open hands, right? And today we're going to talk about what I'm calling the covenant at the door. And I'm going to use marriage as the primary teaching tool for what covenant looks like. And it's important to understand that we all are in covenant with covenant relationship with God when we believe in Christ. Did you know that? And if you are not in relationship with God, at the end of service, I'll have an opportunity for you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But when we make a commitment to God, it is a covenant commitment. And the Bible is full of covenant language. I did a little word study on it, and it's not just found in one section or one story. Really, from Genesis to Revelation, there is language that's covenant in nature. And most of it, there's over 272 verses that use the specific word covenant in the King James Version. Depending on your translation, it might be a little less or more. But most of the time, it's about God and us, his people, and how he is in a covenant relationship with him. And there's this constant letting down, a breaking of the covenant with the nation of Israel. It's just back and forth. And it kind of breaks your heart when you read it. Because a covenant, as it's defined, is a binding promise to remain committed no matter the cost. A binding promise to remain committed no matter the cost. And see, Christ's life, death, and resurrection became a covenant between mankind and God. When God sent his Son to be here for us, to be our Savior, and when we believe in him, we step into a covenant relationship with God. Hebrews 9 says this to us, verses 14 and 15. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since the death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. See, Jesus became a new covenant with all of humanity. He became the in-between to repair the broken, the constant broken relationship that God had with his people. Over and over, there was a broken relationship. So he says, I'm sending the one and only that will solve this forever. And that was Jesus. Jesus himself said this about himself in Luke 22 at the Last Supper. Verse 20 says, and in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Amen. See, it was declared about him, and he declared it about himself. He becomes the covenant for us. And let me just say that it's serious business. It is serious business what we do. And this morning as I was praying and preparing, it should give you confidence to know that when you make Jesus your Lord and Savior, when you step into a covenant relationship with God through the atoning work of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and his resurrection for us, there should be a confidence to know that. And I wrote down just some of the promises that you, when God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, Hebrews 13, 5, or I will be with you always to the ends of the age, Matthew 28, 20. He says, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Did you know that's the second half of the most famous verse of all, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son that we see on posters. But he says that because if you believe in him, you shall not perish, but have eternal life. There's a confidence when you're in covenant relationship. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, I say it, Romans 10, 9, that's Romans 10, 30, will be saved. And in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is. There's a confidence in that. If you've ever questioned any of the promises of God, I just want you to know they are for here and now, and they are for you. And when you are in covenant relationship with Jesus, with God through the power of what Jesus did, all these promises are yes and amen. Yes. I had a lot more, but for time, we'll go on. So the old covenant, Jeremiah 31, 33 says, but this is the covenant which I make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them and on their heart. I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I love that. That God is consistently re-promising his covenant with his people. And I think sometimes we can feel like we fall out of grace. We can feel like we fall out of relationship. I just want you to know that we don't live under the old covenant. And we can't constantly fall out of relationship with God. That is a false teaching. When Jesus did what he did it for all time and for everyone. If you believe in him, you should have a confidence in that relationship. And no one can steal your salvation, right? You can't give it away. It is yours. And even when you have a bad day, we know that there is grace that helps cover a multitude of sin for us. But when we are in relationship with him, that covenant is confident in us. See, for the Old Testament, the covenant had become convenient. It had become based on circumstances. And when there were other gods, when there were other circumstances, they would just turn and go to another god and create another relationship and break their relationship with God. And did you catch the doorpost language? He says that I will be their God and they shall be my people. It's that same language that we find in Deuteronomy, that he's going to put it on our hearts. And when we do that, we become his and he becomes ours. There's a confidence in that, church, to know that when you say, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, you should know that you are in covenant relationship with God. See, Jesus mended that broken relationship forever for everyone. He did. And anybody that believes in him, they have the opportunity to do that. And in verse 32 of the chapter of 31 of Jeremiah, God actually describes himself as a husband. It says, my husband, my covenant, which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. See, the language of marriage is the language of the Bible. God describes himself as a husband, and we know later on, we know the church is described as the bride of Christ. See, marriage is the language of covenant, and it helps us understand God. It helps us understand our relationship with him. And so I'm going to walk through quickly just a few high points on what marriage tells us when it comes to covenant relationship. And if you're married, you should sit up. If you or wake up your spouse, if you're single, pay attention too, because the same principles about marriage apply to your relationship with God. Amen. See, marriage is between one man and one woman. It was God's design. And marriage reflects the covenant relationship he desires with us. Pastor Lynette and I have been married 39 years, and we are always learning new lessons in our marriage. We're always learning new lessons. But we are in covenant relationship. And we can learn how to love God in the lessons of marriage. Now, lots of times you've probably been to weddings and you hear Ephesians 5, and everybody thinks this is the marriage scripture. But I would say it's not. It's the covenant God scripture. He just uses marriage as an example to look at and reflect on. Let me read it to you. Husbands, love your wives. No, duh. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. I'm sorry, that's disrespectful. So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands sought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Because we are all members of this body, of his body, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother, and he'll be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is great, but Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So he's like, hey, I'll give you a little side lesson about being married, but it's all about the church. That's you and me. And if you caught it, let me just remind you, he says, just as Christ loved the church, he gave himself up for her. He talks about washing of the water with the word and himself, the church, in all her glory. And the mystery is great, but it's all about the church. See, marriage is a great mirror for us. It helps us reflect on our relationship with God. And so whether you're married or not, If you're married, you have a lot more opportunities to understand God. And if you're not married, you can look at Scripture and you can look at other people to see this is the model of what God has called us to do, to be in covenant relationship. So we're going to talk about, just quickly, I'm just going to give you a couple quick things, that most of the time we think that strong relationships are built on feelings. But Scripture teaches us that relationships, the best relationships, covenant relationships, are built on covenant living. That means that we are based on commitment. We endure even when it's costly, and it's not based on emotions. Yes. See, when you're in agreements or contracts, those are mutual beneficiary. They end with terms when the terms aren't met. So when something doesn't go well, we're like, I quit. Or they're based on feelings. And covenant says, I'm not staying because it works. I'm staying because I promised. Yeah. See, when we're in covenant relationship, we don't just get to quit. So I got three quick things, and then Pastor Leonard will join me just for a few moments. Number one, marriage reveals how God loves. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave for himself. It's not just about two people. It's a picture that Christ initiates, he sacrifices, and he pursues us. It's a picture of what God should be in our life. And the church responds with trust and receiving from God. And even if you're not married, you're part of the bride of Christ. That's what you're called. And you're called to live in covenant relationships with God. Number two is that covenant love is proven in commitment and not in emotion. This is where the rubber meets the road. Every marriage, there will be stress, there will be conflict, don't anybody say amen, there will be seasons that you go through. It's never like you started, right? Because on your wedding day, that's your best day ever, you think, right? It's never like that again. I've been married 39 years, and there have been different seasons, but I would say it's better than it's ever been in our marriage today. She just called me baby. John 13:1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. See, that's covenant relationship. When Jesus talks about his disciples and he talks about the church, is that when it gets tough, he didn't just throw in the towel. We know that when he went to the garden, he prayed, God, if there's another way, pass this cup. But he didn't throw in the towel. He stayed all the way through for his bride, which is you and me. See, Jesus did love based on convenience or response or performance. He didn't even know, he knew who you would be. He knew who would respond to him, but he did it before you were even born. He did it before your grandparents' grandparents were born. He did it for all of humanity. That's how much he loved us. I love that. And see, covenant love doesn't say, I'll stay if, it says, I'm here even when. See, our relationships are not covenant relationships. All relationships are not covenant relationships. Let me burst your bubble a little bit there. You might have great friendships, and you might have a great church community and family relationships, but they're not a substitute for the real relationship. That's with God and your spouse. That is a separate kind of relationship. And while the Bible talks about a covenant relationship between Jonathan, Saul's son, and David, that was very unique and very uncommon, I would say. Because God wants you to have a relationship with him, a covenant relationship with him. And I think sometimes that can be a distraction if we try to make friendships, family members, even church community covenant. And God hasn't called us into covenant relationship in those relationships. Only our marriage and God. Lastly is what you allow in affects what you will build together. We talked about this in week one about what comes through our doorways and what we allow in. And that can be anything like offense and bitterness, distractions like comparison or silence. And I would say we felt it today is that the Holy Spirit is present And I believe that he's present at your doorways of your heart and your homes. And we have resisted the Holy Spirit. And I believe we are in a season where God is saying, let the Holy Spirit in to minister and do what he was sent to do. Both here and at our homes, the Holy Spirit needs to be in the forefront of what we do and who we are. If we're going to be effective, remember when Jesus left, the final things he said was that another is coming so that you could receive him to be my witnesses to the whole world. That's why the Holy Spirit came. Not just to give you goosebumps and make you feel good. And I love all the gifts of the Spirit. Don't get me wrong. I love them all. But all of those are to equip you and prepare you to reach the lost. Period. That's it. And if the church is going to be the church, we got to open the door and let the Holy Spirit in. And gosh darn it, we're a Spirit-filled church. And come on, we need to know that. It should not be like people don't need to ask. Are you guys Spirit-filled? Yes, we are, right? And we should see a demonstration of those things. At times at the altar and healings and during prayer, we should see that and expect that. So I'm going to wrap up. I know we're kind of running late here, and we're going to take about 10 minutes. I'm going to ask Pastor Lynette to join me because we thought it would be fun to go over a couple practical things when it comes to marriage. I know. I got it. All right. Whew. Ah, I should preach like this every Sunday. So let me just say, I could talk about covenant relationships. I could talk about marriage all Sunday long. We've been married 39 years. We met in junior high school. Dated in high school and got married 4 years, three years after. She'll correct me every time. And our anniversary is coming up. It'll be 39 years in July. And I would just say all that to say that we haven't figured it out. Mm-mm. We're not perfect. Nope. You can ask our staff, our kids. We work together, we live together, and we do life together. But so I got a couple questions. So number one is, what does covenant look like when feelings aren't there? That's you.
This is to me. So I think for us personally, like when we're busy, sometimes life gets very busy, or it just could be a hard season, something we're going through or our family's going through, and you don't have those easy feelings, right? And what I have found for Brian and I is that we truly lean into the Lord. And what I mean by that sounds very churchy, because I guess it is. Well, I was raised in the church, so it is churchy. But I find that I go, all right, God, I have these moments where I talk to the Lord, and I ask him to help me and to help my attitude to trust the Lord.
I love when you do that.
I'm like, God, did you hear how he just talked to me? No, but anyways.
And we were talking about when there's no feelings there, it's not that you don't love each other, but
right,
there
right,
are seasons
right, right.
when, you know, we've had friends and we have our own kids, and you have four kids under the age of four. And you go through seasons where you're like, we're just trying to survive,
right? Yeah.
Change diapers, feed right. babies, and go to work and come home, right? And so sometimes it feels like the passion of wedding day is gone. And yeah. so you have to stay committed and not right. default to what the world would want you to do, to quit or try something else.
So I talk to the Holy Spirit. I talk to God all day long. All day.
She does.
And so I'll just say, Holy Spirit, you got to help me, because I can't do this in my own strength.
Yeah.
Because I really want to like get fleshy and get sassy, but I need help. So
sometimes I hear her talking to herself, and who are you talking to?
I do it a lot.
So how do you stay committed in hard seasons? And let me just say, everybody, every married couple, if you're not married, if you get married, young people, there are hard seasons. And the first thing you do is you ask for help.
Yep.
You find someone else that maybe has been through that season, whether it's kid season or career season or sick season or whatever it is. Ask someone else for help. Get help. Yeah. Ask someone else to come alongside you. And I do this anytime I meet with someone who's going through a difficult season is, where is God in your life?
Right.
Make God first, right? And be around you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next the question was, what have we learned about handling conflict? This was me.
We should be really good at this. Go ahead, honey, tell him. How do we handle conflict?
I put, it happens and don't avoid it, number one. Mm-hmm. There will be conflict, right? Pastor Lynette and I, we have a rhythm. And I mean, our kids will tell you that. Our staff kids, we call them, they will tell you. And we understand each other.
Yes.
So number one is you gotta know each other. And there have been different seasons. Pastor Lynette is a don't go to bed, you know, don't let the sun go down on
your wrath.
On your wrath,
it's scripture.
On your wrath. And so that means that we'd stay up all night until we figured it out. Now, as we've gotten older, that doesn't work because I can't stay up late anymore.
Yeah, so we're tired.
So now we've gone through different seasons, and I understand Pastor Lynette needs silence sometimes.
Yeah.
Before she'd want to talk it out.
Yeah.
Now she's like, give me a moment.
I gotta think about this.
Give me a couple hours to myself. And I'm like, let's just figure this out. I'm a very pragmatic person, direct, and so I'm like, come on, what's the problem, you know? Yeah. And she's like, I need to think about this, and then we'll talk about it. So yeah. I feel like you just have to understand each other, and that works. I feel like these all work with all relationships.
Wait, I got to tell you guys this. Yep. I know our staff and my kids know this, but Brian and I were freshman class presidents together and are in high school, and we fought the whole time. It was horrible.
I was right and she was wrong. So Spirit Week, you know, in high school, they used to have this thing called Spirit Week where you would decorate, the hallways and you'd get everybody together and do posters and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, we got in such a big fight that on Spirit Week, we had one poster on our hallway.
I said, that's it, I'm done. And
she left with all her friends.
We both left and the class was like, where are they going? So God thought, all right, I'll fix your wagon. You guys look at married.
Yeah, and then we got married.
Right?
So what tends to create distance in marriage?
I think if we go too long without an intimate connection, and I don't mean just sex. I mean just that connection.
You said sex in church.
I did. Because you
so
know what, you guys?
You.
There's nothing wrong with saying the word sex. It was God's idea. So we can say that, and it's okay. Don't cringe. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you very much. Okay, so for me, if we don't connect, like, because Brian's my buddy. He's my favorite human on this earth. And if I feel like we're not on the same page, we don't have that connection, it really, really stresses me out. We have an emotional connection, a friendship connection, and if we don't have that, if we don't spend time together, if we're not laughing together, if we're not eating together, we love to cook and eat. And if we're not having those moments, we have distance.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important in your covenant relationships, both in marriage and with God, to have intimacy. That means you have time that's set apart from all the craziness of life that only you and your spouse or God know. Mm-hmm. So if you're not married, you have a covenant relationship with God. There's times when you say things to God that only God hears. Mm-hmm. It's not for anybody else's ear. And there's things that I know about her and she knows about me that nobody else will ever know.
Nobody.
We have an intimacy. Yep. And God wants that same intimacy with all of us when we're in relationship with him.
Yeah. And God made Brian and I incredibly needy. We are very needy with each other, and that's okay.
I'm not that needy.
Yes, you are. But it's okay.
How do we keep God at the center practically?
Yes, wait, where am I?
Number three.
Okay, sorry, I got lost. I really believe that I have to be intentional with my time with God. And so mine is in the morning. I try to get up before he even gets up. Because as soon as Brian's up, I start talking to him, and we just, I get
never
distracted.
Get anything done.
He's a big distraction for me. And so I have to intentionally get up early, so, and then we walk at 6:30. So I try to get up at 5 every morning so I can spend time alone with the Lord and talk to my Lord and Savior and connect with God that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody has to find their own time. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we kind of want to do things together, but it's important you find your own personal time with God. Mm-hmm. What does praying together actually look like for us? It's funny because I believe it's changed seasonally.
Yep.
I've shared this story. I when I lived in the Bay Area, we were in Sacramento, and I used to commute to the Bay Area. I was driving 102 miles each way every day, 204 miles round trip, and so I would leave at 3:45 every morning. I'd have to lay out my shirts and ties and socks because I'd get them all wrong colored. But every morning, Pastor Lynette would get up and pray with me. Now, we don't do that anymore. So that season, it worked then. So, you know, every season's a little bit different. Sometimes it's like it's early. It's the first thing we do. Sometimes it's the last thing we do when we're going to bed or anytime we kind of leave each other for the day. I'm like, right. I'm off to whatever. Yeah. And so let me pray over you.
Right.
But having that kind of language of prayer as part of your life, our kids can attest to it that we say, well, let's pray about that right now. And so we're constantly trying to have prayer.
Yeah.
So we don't set a specific time. Every season's been different for us.
I feel like now it's like we get in bed and we're exhausted.
Yeah.
We're on this new magnesium trip. So we take magnesium before we go to bed. And so we'll lay there and we'll get in bed and we'll look at each other. And most of the time, you're like, I'll say, Brian, you pray tonight. And so, but we do.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
Yeah.
I like that we pray over our kids. And
over you all.
Sometimes I'm praying, but I got more to say to God than Brian.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, I hear...
I'm listening.
Like, okay.
I'm listening. We got a couple more. Do you guys want to keep going or are we done or
stop.
You okay? All right. Anybody hungry?
I am.
Okay. Just two more.
Okay.
What are things we've had to do intentionally to keep out?
Mm.
I would say that we've had to like manage our schedule because the calendar and the schedule of life. And it doesn't matter what season you're in. We've had three kids and sports and, you know, things and life and whatever going on. And that life was busy. We're just as busy now.
Yeah.
And so we have to not let the calendar manage us. We have to manage the calendar. So that's one of the things we do. And then we try to make sure we take Sabbath. Because we're both in ministry, it tends to be 24/7. We love being your pastors, but we can find ourselves working every day, all day. It's what we do, and so we have to say, put the phone down, and just do things with us or with our kids or grandkids.
Right.
So we set specific Sabbath time when we rest.
So Friday is our day.
Yeah.
To go on a date and do whatever I want us to do. But yeah. It's fun.
Last one, what habits have strengthened our relationships?
I think for Brian and I, we do a lot together. And but I have learned over these past few years that I do like time alone, too. I like to go to the thrift store and just alone with myself.
Sure.
I can just stare at all these clothes that I don't need, that someone else has worn, and I can make my own decision. It's great. So I know I need my time alone, too. But what I love is Brian gets all involved with the things that I love. Like if something is super special to me, he wants to know about it and he likes to be a part of it and vice versa.
Yeah.
So he loves every sport. And he knows a little something about every sport and everybody in that sport. And so sometimes those sport, like baseball I like, but you know, basketball I like it too when the Warriors are playing. And I'll be busy playing Mahjong on my phone. But I'm listening. I'm listening to what they're saying, and every now and then I'll go, it's a bit of blah, about whatever they were saying. It's just fun. That's my way of being a little part of
the
world. So I think it's important.
Last question. What advice would you give someone who isn't married yet or single?
Keep God first.
Yeah.
You start there, and that you're complete without somebody. It is so important that you're emotionally healthy before you even get with somebody.
Yeah.
And somebody doesn't need to be your oh, they complete me. No, they don't. They don't complete you. And, or, you know, you don't need. All you need is God. And then from there, when someone comes along, you're healthy, and please connect with someone that's healthy, that you're not completing them.
That's right.
And
that's
no
right.
Missionary dating.
No missionary dating. That's good. That's good. All right, I'm asking you to stand because we're going to wrap up the morning with some prayer. And here's what we're going to do. I know we have a lot of single people in the room. We have some young people. We have widows. We have everything in between. If you're here and you are not married and you're a single person, or maybe your spouse isn't here today, find someone. Lynette, you can stay up here with me. I want you to find someone close to you because I want us to take a few moments and we're going to pray for each other. Pray about our relationship, that it is covenant focused. And so if you're married, maybe it's an opportunity to apologize and kind of get things right and pray about the covenant promises you made when you got married. If you're single and you're praying with someone else, pray that your relationship with God would be a covenant relationship and that you would put Him first, that you would focus on your time with God and that you would guard the doorpost of your heart. Okay, are we good with that? So find someone, turn to them, and you can pray together. Single people can pray through a group if you need to. And Jesus. As you're wrapping up your prayer, I know we went a little long, but you know what? Sometimes we need to tarry. That's an old church word. That means just chill out and be in the presence of God. And I hope you appreciated that. Next week, we're going to talk about difficult relationships, broken relationships, and what God says about them. So don't miss next week because we all have those in our lives, right? So let me pray over you. Put your hands out. Heavenly Father God, Lord, I pray for every person as an individual, whether they're married or not. God, I pray that we would be reflective and understanding of the covenant relationship that we have with you through Jesus Christ. And that we would never take that lightly in any way, shape, or form, but that we would have a seriousness about our covenant relationship with you. And that, God, we would position ourselves and our hearts to receive all that you would have for us. And God, I pray you bless every person, every married couple, every single person, and all that we do, let it bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. And thank you so much for being here today. Hey, if you have a few moments, our ladies have their event tonight, so we need a few guys to stack chairs, roll tables, and I believe she needs a few ladies to help out with putting some stuff together for the food, little boxes. Yeah. Have an amazing day. God bless you.